Hi, I'm Melanie.
And I'm Malia.
And you're listening to the White Dress Optional Podcast by Brilliant Bridal.
Life before, during, and after your wedding is full of options, and we are here to help.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the White Dress Optional Podcast. This is actually our final episode for our first season of the podcast today. And I don't know, Malia, about you, but I've had a ton of fun this season. We've had some incredible interviews and episodes. I think it's been a great experiment.
I think so too. And I have found from people we've talked to that people are finding it really helpful. And I've been able to like even recommend podcasts, be like, oh yeah, you should go listen to this one. Oh, you should listen to this one, as things have come up as I've talked to brides, like, because there's so much helpful information. At least I think I'm biased. I think there is helpful information in these podcasts. And there are things that, like, even for my own wedding, I didn't think about. So I think that's what we're here for, is to like help you think about stuff that maybe we forgot or other people forgot that is really important. So hopefully you all found it helpful. We've been having fun though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were a little unsure about what this would look like. There's not any other bridal stores out there hosting a podcast like this. So it seems a little out of pocket, but part of our mission with our store and with everything that we do is to educate and empower couples who are before, during, and after their wedding. And so this just seemed like a natural extension of that. And I think it's worked really well. We have some really exciting things coming up for the second season that we're already working on. We are taking a break for the summer, which I know you're probably like, but it's April. If you have kids in school or you're a teacher, you know that May is like the dumbest month of the year. It might be worse than December. So in order for both of us to continue running our business in our families and get out of May with our sanity intact, we're just wrapping things up here at the end of April, calling it summer. And we'll be back sometime in the early fall. We don't have an exact date yet for launching, but we will for sure let you know when the second season will be launching for White Dress Optional. And like I said, some really fun content that we are working on for that season. So I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun.
So we are wrapping up today with an AUA, which is an Ask Us Anything. I think everybody probably knows that. But just in case you don't like live in podcast land, this is a really fun format. We have put out questions on our social media for a couple months, looking for what you want answered. So this is a podcast where the content has been sourced from all of you lovely folks that listen and follow us on Instagram. And hopefully we're going to give you some answers to some of your questions. So let's get started.
Let's do it. Thank you all for sending these in. And always, if you guys have questions, don't hesitate to send them in, and maybe we can get to them in a later podcast in the second season. All right. So Mel, this first one is, do you still send save the dates and invites to out-of-state family that you know most likely won't be able to travel in? I have opinions, but what should we be considering? What should we be doing? What's the etiquette here on save the dates and invites for out-of-state family?
Yeah. I think this, like when I saw this question, I was like, ooh, I feel like I'm walking into the danger zone. Like there's so many things to consider here. And I will be the first person to tell you, like, I am not an etiquette. I am not beholden to like etiquette. I think you need to do what is right for you in your circumstances while considering the context that you're in and the people that you're surrounded by and wanting
and the amount of drama you want to add into this wedding. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like your decision here is up to how much drama you want to like take on in your life.
This is really a big one that could create a lot of drama. So I think the things you need to consider is if you're considering not sending save the dates, are people who receive save the dates going to talk to the people who do not receive the save the dates? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. is there a family mm-hmm. unit of cousins, aunts, uncles, whatevers that you're thinking, well, they're out of town, so they're not going to come. So I'm not going to send them the save the date, but I'm going to send it to their family member who I know is going to come, like that to me just seems like
it could go bad on so many levels. I just watched a Friends episode like this, and Ross is invited, and Monica wasn't. And so she's like freaking out on why she wasn't invited to this wedding, and like goes to her aunt and can't believe you didn't invite me. It was because it was one of her ex-boyfriends married her cousin or something like that. So like there might be a reason, but anyway, that's funny that this is coming up because I just watched that Friends episode.
That is hilarious. So yeah, I would say if there are multiple people from the same family group that will probably talk, you just got to send them all. Like, it's not worth the drama. It's not worth the headache. Save the dates are relatively inexpensive, honestly. It's probably not a major budget concern. But if it is, maybe consider sending digital save the dates. People want to be invited to the party, even if they know they can't attend. They want to feel included. They want to feel a part of the celebration. So I would generally lean towards just sending them to whomever. If there is a complete family group that you know will likely not be coming, and you could maybe get away with not sending that entire group of people a save the date, like maybe, but I would in that case prefer to do the inverse, which would be to only send save the dates to a very exclusive small mm-hmm. group of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like immediate family and wedding mm-hmm. party,
like people that have to be there, that you like desperately yes. want there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then send everyone else the invitation when it's time for invitations. Mm-hmm. But if you can afford it, and I mean, all it does is it gives them more time to think about a present to buy you for if they sure. can't come to the
for
wedding.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of room for drama here, and I would lean towards, yes, send to save the dates.
I was like, if you for sure don't want those family members there, and you know they're not going to talk to other family members, I wouldn't send it. You know, like, yeah. if you know, like, if you don't, like, maybe you, like, have to invite this aunt, distant right. aunt, but, like, you don't want her to come. Maybe you're saving on guest list or whatever. You're not that close. Maybe don't send the save the dates and then send them the actual invitation. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. That might get yeah. you out of inviting some people.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think you got to know who talks to each other and...
True story.
What
it's because it could get dangerous real quick.
Real quick. Yep.
All right. Next question came in from Cecilia. Thanks for sending this in. What is the most overlooked aspect of wedding planning by brides? And honestly, knowing where Mel is going with this, I would completely agree because this is something that, like, this is probably the most overlooked aspect for sure.
And I don't think we learned this until this.
No.
Podcast.
No, so I have learned things.
Oh yeah, so many things. We did an interview, you can go back and listen to it, with the Vow Whisperer, Tanya, and I think we learned that the most overlooked thing for wedding planning are your vows and your officiant preparation and relationship or connection with your officiant. It's something you don't think about. It's something that's assumed, but there are actually so many ways for this to go sideways and to create problems for your ceremony. And ultimately, the vows and the ceremony are the wedding. That is the commitment. That is the moment. Everything else is a super fun party, which we're all about, but you don't want to overlook making a really intentional moment of your vows and your ceremony, which is led by your officiant.
Totally. And something I would have never thought about. Now, when I was getting married, I definitely wanted an officiant that knew both Clark and I. Like, I like when it's a little bit more personal. So yeah. that was important to us. We did think through that. And we did go with somebody that, like, has done many weddings and so was very familiar with what to do. So that was helpful. But gosh, I've definitely been at weddings where you can tell that the person marrying them has no idea who this couple is.
Right.
And I've definitely been at weddings that, like, somebody speaking probably shouldn't have been, you know? So I do yeah. think I agree. Like, go back and check out that episode because it was so helpful.
Or even if things go fine, it maybe feels too scripted, or you could tell like this officiant is doing their job and then they're actually going to another wedding down the road to do it again with the same script, but delete probably the names, you know, name. Which is like fine. It gets the job done, but this is actually a really special moment and has so much room to be really unique and intentional, and yeah, don't forget about it. Okay, so we are moving on to some questions now about dresses. We got quite a few dresses or questions in around the theme of wedding dresses, which we know that quite well. So
that I can talk about.
that we can talk about. Okay, so Malia, this one is for you. And unfortunately, we didn't get a name with who asked this question, but they would like a breakdown on the alterations for their wedding dress. What is usually standard alterations? What are custom alterations? And how can you be the most informed about what you might need for alterations before buying a dress?
This is so good. The number of brides that come in and like hadn't thought about alterations, I think can throw people off pretty quickly. So to know all this before you go in is going to be really helpful. So standard alterations, these dresses aren't made usually to fit you, you know, like they'll, whether you order a gown or buy a gown off the rack, they don't fit you perfectly. It's not like ready to wear clothes. So, and they're more fitted than, you know, a lot of our ready to wear clothes tend to be. So one of the things that usually has to be done on every dress is the hem. So depending on how tall you are, short you are, they'll adjust the hem. Now, something to think about with your hem is how many layers to your gown do you have? Like these, a lot of these gowns could have 3, 7, 10 layers, and each layer has to be hemmed to your length. So that is like very standard. Another standard alteration is pulling the dress in around the bust and like through the rib cage. It's usually gaps a little bit, and we need to like mold that to your body. So that's another standard alteration. And the third standard alteration is going to be your custom, your hem, pulling your hem, the back of your dress, the training of your dress, up into the back of your dress so you can like move around all night without carrying it. So you can absolutely carry your train with you all night, but if you don't want to do that, you can get a bustle put in. So those are like the standard every dress: hem, bustle, bringing in the side seam. So that's going to be really standard. Things that are not so standard, things that are a little bit more custom, is if you want to add anything. So if your dress is strapless and you want to add a sleeve, or it has a sleeve and you want to take it off, maybe you want to lower the back on your dress. Those custom things will be additional cost above that, you know, three standard main things that you have to do. And I need you all to hear me, that like you need to like, this is a separate budget item, a separate line item on the budget is alterations, and plan for $600. $600 to $800 probably is going to be that range. Now, if you do things that are custom, it's going to be higher. And depending on where you're listening to this podcast, different areas of the country might have lower or higher alteration costs, but just throw on your budget right now as you're in this like early planning stage, $600. So you're not surprised later if it does cost that much to do your hem and your bustle and your side seams. I think the other part of this question is how to be most informed. Mm-hmm. Definitely talk to your stylist in the store that you're, you know, buying your dress from. They're going to be able to help you walk through what needs to be done. Maybe some things that don't need to be done, maybe some tricks that they might have that you can avoid some of these charges. So, if your dress has a corset in the back, then you don't need to bring in the side seams. So that is one thing that like you can, that's one thing you wouldn't have to do. If you are tall, which I am not, but if you are tall and maybe you can like adjust your heel height so you don't have to hem your dress. So there are some tricks that your stylist will know. So make sure to talk to them about that. You could also, as you're doing research about the gowns, the stores you're going to, see if they have an in-house seamstress or if they refer you out to somebody. That would be important to know. And then if they do refer you out and they've got like 3-4 names, go visit multiples and get quotes from everyone and see who you like working with, see who you communicate well with. Because this is somebody that you're going to visit with several times, and usually up until right before the wedding, they'll do another fitting right before the wedding to make sure that everything fits properly. So make sure that you like them. So feel free to get more than one quote. Don't just go with, you know, the first one on the list. That may not be the best fit for you.
Yeah. And I would just add, if you are shopping somewhere and you get a sense that they are not being transparent about the alterations,
yes,
or you get a sense that they are downplaying the alterations, or you get a, or you're asking questions and they don't seem to want to answer them. If you love the dress, buy it, but go find your alterations somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. you should be able to ask any question about alterations about any dress and get an honest, transparent answer. A lot of stores will just, especially if they don't do in-house alterations, if there's no financial advantage for them to do the alterations, they just want to sell you the dress. And that is a real gray area for people to overpromise and underdeliver. Mistakes happen all the time. We have made mistakes at all of our stores in what we thought could be done in alterations, but it's never been out of a place of just wanting to sell you the dress and then having you deal with the alterations after the fact. So I think that's a really good sign of you're working with a quality store with a good reputation that cares about their customers, is if they'll honestly and transparently answer your alterations questions to the best of their ability.
Yeah. When I got married, I wasn't in the industry yet. And so it wasn't until I got in the industry that I realized that I could have ordered my dress smaller. But the owner of the store was also the seamstress. And so she wanted to double end it. And my dress was, the bodice was fully beaded. And so a fully beaded bodice is going to be way more expensive to alter than just a simple bodice. And so my alteration costs were pretty high even then. And I do know now that it's like, oh, it's because she was going to double end it. You know, so like something to consider. You probably wouldn't know unless you were in the industry, but let us tell you because we are. So something to think about.
There you go.
Okay, let's stay on dresses. Brittany asked, what is the best way to budget for a dress?
Yeah. And I think with a lot of things we've talked about, you need to start with determining what your priorities are for your dress. If the dress is very important to you, if you are into fashion, if you have always dreamed about your wedding dress. I was not that girly, so I did not care. I found the cheapest dress that fit me and I got married. But if it's important to you and it's a priority, then you're going to want to skew towards the national average, which I just did some research, and for the first time ever in 2023, the national average of a wedding dress reached $2,000. Again, that can change if you are in Nebraska versus New York. There's probably some differences there. But if it's a high priority, you're going to want to budget at least that $2,000, I would think.
And that is just the dress, not including alterations. So that's what we're saying. Like, these are two different costs. These are two different things. Like, you get the dress that you want and then get the alterations done so the dress fits you properly.
Yep. Yep. So this is just for the dress that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. If the dress is not as big of a priority for you, and if you have some flexibility in terms of what you are willing to wear, and I will add, if you are a how do I say this in a way that is kind? If you have a body that is probably between sizes like 6 to 14, because that is where most wedding dresses sizes are made. If you have a much smaller body or a much larger body, you are just not going to have as many options available to you. And you will have to be even more flexible if you are on a budget. But if the dress isn't as big of a priority and you're flexible with what you're willing to wear, you can probably plan to budget maybe between $1,000 to $1,300, you know, there are dresses that exist that are under $1,000. We have them in every single one of our stores, but we specifically are a overstock, discounted, off the rack wedding dress store, which they just don't exist everywhere. Right. You might have to get creative with going to sample sales or looking online. Mm-hmm. But I would say the best way to figure out your budget for a dress is to figure out what your priorities are and go from there.
Yeah, I think that's good. And do check it to see if like stores in the area are having sales. A lot of stores like to do sales, like especially sample sales in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then again in the winter to clear out some of the dresses that to make room for new ones. So keep that in mind as you're like looking around.
Yep, for sure. Malia, I'm going to let you answer this next one as well. Yeah. This comes from Alanya. When is the best time to try on dresses for a quick engagement? And she said, in parentheses, 4 to 6 months, which is indeed a quick engagement.
Yes. The answer is yesterday. The answer is absolutely, you should have, let's try now, right? Tomorrow. Make an appointment, get in there. And the reason I say that is if you're buying a dress from a reorder store, it will take 4 to 6 months for that dress to even come in, and then you need time for alterations. So when you go to a store, just have a good conversation, like, hey, here's my wedding. And they'll point you in the direction of designers that they know they can get in time, dresses that they know they can give you in time. And a lot of stores do have like an off the rack section, but mostly if you're really under that 4 to 6 range, and for sure under 4 months, you're going to be looking at an off the rack option. So, that could be a sample sale like we were talking about. Or if you find a retailer like ours, Brilliant Bridal, we sell everything off the rack. So your wedding could be tomorrow, you can get a dress. Your wedding could be in 3 years, you can get a dress. And you can take it with you the same day. And so those are some things to think about. Really on those quick engagements, that should be your first priority. A venue and a dress need to happen pretty quickly to make sure that you have time for the dress to come in and time for alterations. Because alterations could be, you know, a couple month ordeal, depending on the dress, how busy they are, the time of year. If you are getting married in the height of wedding season in your market. So in my market, it's going to be summer and for sure fall. Fall is huge and fall is big for a lot of our markets. Your seamstresses are going to start to fill up with other weddings that have been booked for a long time. So keep that in mind, that you may have to be, you know, a little bit flexible, or maybe look for another seamstress or multiple seamstresses that have the time. But I would say ASAP right now, go find a dress, and check that off your list. And it's one of those things that like, you don't need to spend months looking for a dress. Like, this is just a little tip, but you usually find your dress within the first shop, usually, of where you're looking, because you know your style, you know what you know looks great on your body. So people are usually surprised that they can find it that early and that quickly. But it can happen. So I would say, talk to your stylist, see what they have as options, or really pursue some of those sample sales or off the rack stores in your area. All right. I think this next question is really interesting. Katie, thank you so much for sending it in. And I think this could happen to a lot of brides, so I'm so glad you asked it. But she is asking, what do you do if you're having second thoughts on a gown that is a final sale?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a tough question. I want to back up a little bit and talk about why the bridal industry has this as a practice pretty much across the board. I've never heard of a bridal shop that doesn't have an all sales final policy. This primarily stems from the business model of traditional reorder stores, because when you go and order a dress from that store, you're usually just giving them a deposit. You're not paying the full amount of your dress. And so they take that deposit to order your gown, but they are on the hook for the full amount of the dress. So if you back out of that order, the store is out a significant amount of money, right? So that is where this stems from, is it's just a business risk. It's a business risk that protects small businesses to say, hey, if you're committing to the sale, like, you're going to owe us all of this money. And it's a final sale and you can't return it, because once again, if it's a reorder store, if you get the dress in, you try it on, you're having second thoughts. Well, what are they going to do with the dress? It was your dress. They ordered it for you. Now at Brilliant Bridal, we have different business risks. You might think, well, you're an off-the-rack store. Why can't you take it back and just sell it to the next bride? Different, same policy, different risks. If we take a dress back that has been out of our store, we don't know where that dress has been. We don't know if it's been damaged. We don't know if it's been in a home with pets that the next bride might be allergic to. We don't know if it's been altered. So that is our business risk. And that is why we have an all sales final policy. So I wanted to give a little bit of background on that, just so you know that the policies are there to ensure the success of the businesses. It's not because we want to be mean, which I think is sometimes how it comes across. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, these are high dollar items, like thousands of dollars. It's not like returning a pair of jeans to Target, where like their cost on that inventory is $5 for your pair of jeans, you know, like we're talking lots of money here. So hopefully that gives you a little bit more understanding of why this is such a common practice.
Yeah. And it's also like these dresses, especially if you are in a reorder store, they've taken your measurements, they've gotten the dress to the size that made sense for you and the color. Like there's often like color options and things like that. So the chances that another bride is going to come in looking for that exact dress in the same color and the same size that they can like resell to somebody else would be really, really difficult. Yeah. And so, you know, I get why the policy is in place, because it is like a pretty big risk for those stores to order you something that you could back out on, you know?
Yep. Yep. Okay. So what happens if you are in this position? If you have bought a dress and you're having some second thoughts, the first thing that we always say is go back to the store and try the dress on again.
Every time, go back and try it on again. Please just let us know what's happening and come back in. That's what we would like.
Communicate with your store, communicate with the stylist that you worked with. Say, I'm having second thoughts. This is not an uncommon thing to happen. You buy these dresses in an emotional time. There could be familial pressures depending on who is with you at your appointment. But often, majority of the time when we have brides in this situation, all they need to do is come back in with their stylist, try the dress on again. If the dress is in your possession, bring it with you to the store. If you have accessories that you purchased, veil, shoes, bring it all. Like, let us put you back in everything, put it all together, talk through why you loved it in the first place, and have that moment again. If you have ordered a dress and it has not come in yet, go ask the store if you can get back into the sample and do the whole thing again. It might be beneficial in this situation to do it by yourself, especially if you really connected with your stylist. Probably depends on context and who is with you and if you trust the people that were with you. But if you had a great experience and a good stylist and you feel like the store really cares about you and your well-being, I would maybe suggest going by yourself to make that decision. But more often than not, brides will realize that they actually do love that dress and they can move forward with that as their dress. Would you agree, Malia?
Absolutely. And the number of times the brides come back and thank you for coming back, we put you back in it and you're like, oh yeah, I do love it. Especially if you have the gown at home and it hasn't been altered yet. Like if you decide like, oh, I'm just going to slide into it real quick and it doesn't quite fit you right. And you don't have like the clips or somebody holding it back for you. It could look funny or not quite right. The other thing that happens is if you're ordering a dress, the new dress that comes in is going to feel more restrictive, more stiff. It's not going to have like the sample's been tried on over and over and over again. So it's kind of has a softness to it that your dress doesn't have. So it feels different all of a sudden. And so you start to panic like, well, this didn't feel like it did like 6 months ago. Well, it's not going to. And that's okay because this is brand new and it's going to feel like that the more you wear it. So you're going to try it on at the store, you're going to try it on multiple times at alterations, and it'll start to soften up and feel more like the dress you tried on originally. But I agree with all that. 99% of the time you come back and you try it back on, you're like, oh, it just didn't look right in my mirror at home. Yeah. And now I feel great in this dress. And you remind yourself that, like, oh yeah, I do love this and I can get married in this and this is going to be great.
Yep. Okay. If you truly find yourself in a position that you cannot move forward with a dress that you have committed to purchasing, whether it's a dress that you've ordered or a dress that you purchased off the rack, unfortunately, don't have a lot of options. If you did order a dress, you can go to the store, see if that dress has shipped. Sometimes if the dress has not been put into production or if it hasn't shipped, the store can cancel that order and you will only be out whatever the deposit was. You may not need to complete your payment on that dress. I think that's pretty few and far between. Again, we don't work like that. So I don't know. I'm sure every store is different. But you can try. You can beg mercy. If you have the dress in your possession, honestly, your best chances are to resell it yourself. There's a lot of online options for doing that. Some markets do have consignment bridal gown stores where you can go to consign it. You need to expect to get a fraction of the price you paid for that dress. Don't expect, even if it is a brand new dress that you just ordered, it is a designer name, it is on trend, it is in season, do not expect to get your money fully back on that dress. It's just not how the market works, unfortunately. So those are kind of your options. I don't think there's much else you can do.
I know at our store, we've had brides come in who, you know, purchased elsewhere and got a dress from us. They bring their old dress in and we'll put it on a mannequin for them and help them take pictures of it and help them get it online for them. But there are a lot of online retailers that you can, you know, pop your dress and some pictures of it online. But like Mel said, like, don't expect to get quite as much from it because it will be less than what you paid for sure to get rid of that dress. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Malia, we are coming back to you with another alterations question. And I think this is just like so appropriate for you, for all the vertically challenged folks out there. Can all dresses be tailored lengthwise? And this is from Gloria. She says she's a 5'2" bride here. So she really wants to know, like, can they make a dress short enough for her?
Yeah. So great question, Gloria. Thank you. I am 5'1" on a good day. So I totally understand this question. Yes, gowns can be altered lengthwise. Couple things to keep in mind. Some designers, if you're ordering a dress, do have a petite length option. It still won't be in your length, but it'll be closer to your length. So ask about that. And then other thing to consider is how much detail is on the bottom hem of the dress. So if you have a very detailed lace bottom to your dress, that is going to be not impossible to alter, but harder to alter. And the other thing you need to think about is the space between where that has to come up and your waist. Like, is that going to just like crowd the skirt of the dress? Is this making sense? Like, if you have lace on the bottom and it has to move up the dress, mm-hmm. is it like overcrowding too close to the waist? So I would recommend, if you can get a dress without a ton of lace on the bottom or without a hem piece, you can always add a hem piece later. That's something you could add later. But it might be worth it for someone who is shorter to give themselves that option. I do know there are some seamstresses that can pull up the waistline. If maybe you're not as long in the torso, you can, have the dress come up there first. So it sits properly on your waist and then gets hemmed from the bottom. So depending on your proportions, talk to your seamstress about, you know, like, let's make sure this fits well on my waist as well as lengthwise. So yes, can be done. These dresses are made for somebody 5'9" with a heel. I am not that, but it can be done. We do it all day long. So yes, Gloria, you are in luck. You can get a dress that, you know, you won't be tripping over as you walk down the aisle.
Yeah, 100%. Would you say that there is some consideration? This is kind of like a rabbit trail off this question, but for people who are shorter, to consider, like, maybe you don't want a drop waist dress. Like maybe you don't want a dress that will make that gap between your waist and your bottom of your dress even shorter. I don't know. Is that a thing to consider or just get what you love?
Right. Okay. So actually my dress was a little bit of a dropped waist and it worked, but I think it's because like my torso is a little bit shorter and then my legs are a little bit long. Like my legs are long enough to handle that. Like
worked for it.
Yeah. But anything right, like anything that snugs right around the smallest part of your waist is always going to be incredibly flattering. So you can start there and make sure that those proportions look right, that the dress is the smallest right around your waist, and then, you know, go from there. But I did have a drop waist and it worked. Yeah. Great. So there you go. Last question. This is great. And actually we reached out to our stylist to ask them what they thought, again, kind of in this, like, not necessarily alterations, but gown in this realm. Kelly wrote in and asked, what opinions do you have on shapewear or undergarments? Are there certain styles, brands that are better for certain wedding dresses?
Yeah, this is something that I think is kind of like always changing as new options come onto the market. So we did reach out for our stylists because they're the ones that are helping you in and out of these things every day. I think first, our inclination is always to say, if your dress fits properly, you really shouldn't need a whole lot in the way of shapewear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think unless you are very well endowed on top.
Yes.
If you are very well endowed, this might be a little different. But if you are not, honestly, you don't really want to wear a bra with your gown. If you see a bride with a strapless dress and she's pulling up on it all night, she's usually pulling up on the undergarments. Mm-hmm. The dress is sliding against those things. It's going to be way better for you if you can just wear the dress right against your own skin and have your seamstress tailor it so it fits your body properly. So that would be my first recommendation is don't wear them. But if you do want to wear shapewear, especially around the tummy or your legs, we definitely have some options there for you.
Yeah, we, our stylist recommended Skims. We all know Skims, Kardashians. Thank you so much. Honeylove was another brand they recommended because they have lots of options available. And then one recommendation we got was from Felina. Their long lined bras have worked really well for a lot of our brides. I think another thing we would say here, if you are looking for shapewear, don't get the knockoff brand.
No. Not for your wedding day.
Yeah. Go for a high quality, top of the line, Spanx or some of these other brands that are really doing it well and will, you don't want to be doing the strapless tug all night whatever, you know, it is. You want to have something that's really quality. You've invested in a dress that is quality. So don't, you know, put something crappy underneath it and ruin what you've invested in.
Totally. I would also say, like, you may want to buy more than one from a couple different brands and go try them on with your dress on that first alterations day. Like, try a bunch of different options and see what feels the best, as well as like what fits the best. Because you definitely want your undergarments with you when you go in for alterations. So whatever you're going to wear at your alterations appointment, make sure you bring that with you. You don't want to like get partway through alterations and be like, I decided to wear shapewear. That's going to change what your seamstress was going to do to your gown. So make sure to bring those options, try on different things, and even like get your seamstress's opinion. Like, she looks at gowns all days long. Like, she should be able to like say, yes, yeah, this one should work better with the alterations you're doing.
Yep. Well, that is it, folks. That is our end of the season AUA. We are so grateful that you've been on this journey with us this season. We hope that you have learned as much as we have, and that you are feeling more educated and empowered to continue on in your wedding planning journey. We will be back sometime in the fall. Keep an eye out on our socials for when that will launch. We will definitely be putting that out there. In the meantime, if you've missed any of the episodes, highly recommend you go back and listen to some of them. We've got a lot of great content that we covered this season. But we've had a blast, and we really look forward to seeing you all again next season on the White Dress Optional podcast. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
listening to the White Dress Optional podcast. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at White Dress Optional to keep up with all the latest podcast episodes, news, giveaways, and more.
You can also email us at podcast@brilliantbridal.com. And as always, we would love it if you would leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.